We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the Boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh and Johnny after a thrilling 71-68 victory over the Michigan State Spartans. Coach Brad Underwood said it would be a rock fight, and I think that's kind of an overdone or overused term, but it really was a rock fight tonight. It was physical. It came down to the end. It was a fun one. It was an absolute squeaker of a ball game right there. That was fun. So I'm excited to chat about this one.
My heart is still pumping. That was like the last sequence too was wild. Like Michigan State down three, misses. We get the rebound, great rebound by Luke, and then missing the front end of the 1-1 and just absolute chaos. They like fortunately we walk away, we'll bank the win, and we're on to Maryland. But holy shit.
You know what that play almost reminded me of was the when Murray had a chance a couple of years ago, Iowa had a chance to win that game. This would have tied it. This would have tied it.
A little different,
but just sort of like ball in the air. You know, your life is on the line with the ball in the air. Obviously, different stakes. That would have won the game. Murray would have won the game there. Yes, a whole Big Ten on the line. But that did almost remind me of that, where just the ball is in the air and your destiny is in the fate of gravity and the ball going through the hoop or not. So that was a big one. That was a fun one right there.
But yeah, that was just an absolute, like the second half of that game, absolute grinded out performance. Like we kind of like let early go up 10 and then you're like, hey, is there a chance we just like keep Michigan State away? But that was, oh man. That might have taken years out of all of our lives.
It's too early, Johnny. We're like 25% of the way in the Big Ten player. Yeah. If you're tweaking now against a now 1-4 Big Ten team,
that was like our second biggest home game though. Yeah. Like you like earlier in the season, you're like, okay, you got Michigan State and Purdue at home. Like those are the two big ones. So getting rid of Michigan State, like they're still 17th in KenPom right
there
now.
It is.
So, and all right, over. All right, I'll Venmo you afterward, Josh. I'll Venmo you five after. I think
it's a really good team, despite what their record is. So
yeah, of course.
Walking
away with a
win without your best player, like
you think Tom Izzo is going to let his team just not make a 23rd NCAA tournament? Do you think they're going to go down easy like that? I mean, hopefully now they reel off like a ton of conference wins in a row, and this
yes, exactly.
A high KenPom win, but you say that for every Big Ten team that you beat, obviously. But that was fun.
The case for Northwestern. Like that's
right.
After you beat them by 30, they go ahead and beat Michigan State, beat Penn State. Like that one is looking like a very good win. But I don't know, Josh. What are your thoughts?
All right, I tuned in starting with like maybe 4 minutes left of the first
half. Perfect. Tell
everyone.
Can you
explain what happened in the 5 minutes in the first half that Dane played that he didn't get featured and we're now in a six-man rotation.
Like, okay. No. It had nothing to do with like Dane's quality of play. Dane played well. It's more of just like we play those five guys. We have a five out like basket. Like it just, it allows us to play the best offensively and defensively, like stylistically. Because it gives the most space for Domas because no one's clogging up the paint. And whoever their center is has to guard someone who can shoot threes. And defensively, we can switch on everyone. Like, look at what Coleman can do against Tyson Walker.
Look at what Coleman can do. What a game. What a second half. I mean, probably first half as well. But he played phenomenally down the stretch. It's so good.
I'm stealing Tyler's tweet. I'm pretty sure he said his defense was, you know, elite. And I know Johnny's smile right now is just brimming from ear to ear again. Johnny was born with a Coleman Hawkins chip on his shoulder, one that no one has ever actually necessarily disagreed with him, but he will take that with him until he's playing, you know, alongside whoever in the NBA next year. Yeah, I mean, the defense and some of the threes are falling again.
Yeah, exactly. No,
not
mean,
some, a lot of them.
They showed that graphic that like since he had that slow start, he's basically been like 50% from three.
He was three for five today. And yeah, it's like they're good open threes, right? He doesn't have to force step back.
I think the
off
fifth one was
threes.
Yeah, I think the fifth one was just like a set in which like he was still shooting a three that was a little too far away from the arc. But like everyone that's right on the line, that's in rhythm, it's just it's money. Like I feel confident in his shot now. I know everyone used to always be like the no, and then be like, oh yay, he made it.
Those were the days. Two weeks ago against Tennessee, 3 weeks ago against Tennessee. Those were the days. You know, they grow up fast in front of our eyes. Yeah, absolutely. But the player of the game.
Coleman Hawkins.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, no.
I was gonna say you're saying Domask, but like
I'm gonna say Ty. I was even gonna say
Harmon should be in the conversation.
Oh wow, I guess everyone's the player. We're giving out player of the game nominations like they're freaking whatever. The whole put a big man on Ty, obviously against Purdue, worked pretty well, and they try to do the same thing with Sissoko on Ty, and he made them pay in the first 5, 6, 8 minutes of the game by getting to the rim a little bit, and he had a career high, a season high in points tonight. So when I say player of the game, it's more of just, it's kind of like, you know, the coach of the year award, they don't actually give it to the best coach of the year, they give it to the most deserving coach, right?
The player the coach that outperforms the expectation. Exactly.
Ty got the outperform the expectations of the player of the game award.
He was awesome. I mean, him having 15 points was not something that you chalked up. And like, that was, Josh, also what you missed at the start of the game was just like Ty going to work on one of our least favorite players of all time in Mati Sissoko. Like,
the worst. Still here?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was living at home with my parents when he was still in college. And yes, I'm yes. Like, how is that still possible? I know the COVID year thing, but. Ah, damn.
It's actually only his fourth year. It's just like
credit to him for not transferring.
Yeah, his freshman year, he broke Io's nose and gave him a concussion. And
oh, I know.
He's been around ever since. I mean, there was a time, weren't we recruiting him where we thought he might come to Illinois?
I don't know.
But
yeah, he's definitely a name. I just don't know if he's like a name that like took an official visit.
Uh huh.
We would have been there at Auburn and seen him. We would have been there.
Maddie, your point about the coach of the year, that's like why Brad Underwood has never won a Big Ten coach of the year. But like, you're going to see Fred Hoiberg win it this year because like Nebraska his fourth or fifth year now finally makes the tournament. Going back to the performance, I mean, like, once again, you could make the debate that a bunch of different guys were the best player. Like, it was a really weird tie performance. He only had one rebound, which is like very out of character. But I think it speaks to like he had to play a different style, and it's like more scoring and less like offensive rebounding. And he only played 20 minutes because, especially in the second half, we're like, we got to do the five out offense. But my friend KenPom did declare that Coleman Hawkins was the MVP on his.
Oh, wow.
I mean, think about it. Coleman and Ty both had 15 points. Coleman also had 4 blocks and 2 steals. Like, when you have 6 combined blocks and steals, like, that's you're just like a menace on the defensive end.
You mentioned Ty's one rebound. Illinois leads the Big Ten in rebounds, but got out-rebounded tonight by it was 37-34. I think we averaged something like 44 boards so far or something in Big Ten play. That's 10 less rebounds a game. I don't know if that's, again, stylistically playing five out. I don't know if that's, like you said, Ty getting one board, but if you told me we'd get out rebounded tonight, I would have been pretty surprised if you had said that.
Yeah, and there were some possessions that were like, oh man, this sucks. We just cannot grab a board. I mean, like, Sissoko is a very physical rebounder, but at least we definitely battled. Like it's been weird watching this team because it has been such a strength for them, but hey, we'll take, like, tonight really was just like a, was not our best performance and we still won. So we will absolutely take that to the bank.
Especially in a week where I think majority of ranked teams have a loss this week. It's just such a massive win where, like, it seems like in all those games that the ranked team lost that they could have eked one out or like won the type of game that we did win today and they didn't. And it's so great that we had that game where we did win. What's your face here?
Is it like
I got a lot of so first of all, is there like
yeah,
a
virus it's like the
going?
Coin flip. It's the coin flip thing, yeah, where like every game impacts the next game, right? Like that you always.
So there's like a virus. Yeah. There's like a little bug going around where like ranked teams are losing, but like at the end of the year, Illinois beating Michigan State is a good thing. But the time, the fact that ranked teams lost this week has nothing. The timing has nothing to do with it. Ranked teams losing is good.
Elliot, can you chime into our group chat tomorrow and talk about when that's supposed to come in? But it just teams are going down. It's the middle of January, coming back from break. Like, well, students are coming back from break, not these players, and people are losing. We're not. Well, we did lose to Purdue, but
even an even amount of teams are also winning as well as losing. Josh, did you know that the teams
not ranked teams, but though.
Not
there's
the
an
ranked
odd, there's 25 ranked teams.
Okay, and so you're telling
No. I mean, I agree with Josh. Like, here's what we've seen in the last 2 days: we saw number 11 Marquette lose, we saw number 9 Oklahoma lose, we saw number 5 Tennessee lose, we saw number 3 Kansas lose, we saw number 1 Purdue lose,
and number
and we
two,
saw
Houston.
Number 2 Houston.
And,
so like
almost every
almost every single team in the top 10 in the past 3 days has gone down. So. That's like fairly uncommon. So
I'm just saying that these things are mutually exclusive.
No, for sure. It's the heads and tails thing. Yes, we've gone over this, but we didn't lose. That's all that matters.
Are you sure? Exactly. They just changed the score. I think it's tied. We're going to overtime.
It's more of a just like, don't take these games for granted that you win, because like, hey, other teams who are in a similar spot to you lost. What I will say about every other of those games was they were all on the road. And it's just a reminder how difficult it is to win in the road in college basketball. And we fortunately had a home game, but hopefully we get that road kill for. I guess we still have Maryland.
I'm going to be skipping that game. One does not simply beat Maryland if you're the Fighting Illini. Yeah. So I will be.
Are you opting out?
I will be opting out. I will be passively not.
Can you place wagers for us?
If I make it. So as it's 10:40 on Thursday night. I'm supposed to fly out to Vegas tomorrow at 1:00 on a Boeing 737 MAX. So all things are pointing to a good trip right now.
Safe travels.
To Vegas right there. What do you want, Johnny? So Johnny, you want Big Ten. You want
he already has that.
16,
I have Big Ten Final Four and I don't know if I did, Natty. I'd have to look at my bet slips from when I was in New York. But, I mean, I'm always down to double down in the Big Ten. Like, when I made those bets, I didn't know that we were gonna be 3-1 and what is Purdue 2-2. Like, we're up a game on them right now. So
Purdue's 3-2. But, yeah, the Big
two.
Ten is,
okay.
is
half a game.
Is Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. Very important.
I have a fun game. I have a fun game to play.
Is it? Okay. Go ahead.
So I like to do this thing where I search like MSU to get into like MSU Twitter when they lose.
Sure. Let's take a look.
Okay, so if they gave you half wins for almost winning at the end, MSU basketball would have the one seed clinched already. Constantly one bucket or play short in the closing minutes. It's not even all their fault. Two missed foul calls down the stretch against Arizona. An egregious call tonight. Now the game is, what was the egregious call tonight?
Oh,
The no and one at the end there.
Egregious?
That one.
I mean,
they might
wasn't
be
egregious.
Calling the one where they Coleman stole the ball and it was at the end of the first half. And then we got 2 points out of it. They thought it was a foul, like Rafferty and the play-by-play guy. That's what I'd be guessing.
Izzo just, he said the difference in the game was the free throw line. The discrepancy was a little tough. So, all coaches do this, but Izzo, like, he might be up. He might be the number one, like, every game, you know, at the end of the game, he is going to go to use the commenter's adjective apoplectic on the referees. And I know Brad does it, and every team wants to pretend like their coach doesn't do it and the other coach bitches, but, like, he might be, like, the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, but he might be the Hall of Fame at, like, bitching at the refs more aggressively than anyone that I've ever seen.
I know it's part of like the job because that's what every coach does, but how frustrating is it to hear like Rafferty say like you have to work the refs, like, and every commenter says this, but like why is it a thing that you need to work a referee? Like,
yeah, exactly. They should just like be calling the game.
Yeah, the way that they see it.
Yeah,
it's
exactly,
like when the who was the NFL official who was like, "You're too young to get that call to the quarterback."
Yeah,
what? Yes. Or is like there something in the rule book that says you need to have gotten your fifth year option picked up in order to get a roughing the passer call?
Or like when Dan Campbell like goes before the game and tells the referee, if it comes down to this, we're going to be running this 2-point conversion call. Make sure that it looks out. And then they still screwed up the call. Like just call the play on how it's supposed to be played.
It's part of the game, but Izzo probably does it as aggressive or more aggressively than everyone else. And he does it on every single play down the end. And it wasn't an and one. I forget who it was. That was that little hook
Malik
shot.
Malik Hall,
that made it a 71-70 game. Not 71-70, because that wouldn't have made sense. But it would have made it a 1-point game or would have tied the game with an and one. He was going apoplectic, and it wasn't a foul, right? So I'm wondering if it almost loses its luster when you do it every single time. Or because guys like Courtney Green have been doing this a long time. I don't think a guy like Courtney Green sees Izzo get mad and he goes, dang, I wonder if I goofed that up. I should probably give him a makeup call down the other end of the court. But you're right. It's a part of the game. It should be a part of the game, but it's a part of the game.
Johnny, are you about to say? Oh, go ahead. I have a Courtney Green thing.
Yeah, not a huge Courtney Green fan. But
no. I'm a fan of him when he calls games in against teams that are gold and black.
Okay. That's true.
Iowa?
Yeah. Maybe Iowa's least favorite referee.
Oh. Yeah. Him and Fran do not see eye to eye, do they?
Yes.
Well, that was the other one. That was the guy with the tight pants.
His name is on the tip of my tongue.
Rob.
Pfeiffer.
Yeah, something. Kelly Pfeiffer.
Kelly Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. Gosh, love him. Go ahead, Johnny.
No, what I was going to say is that there were so many fouls in the last, 6 minutes, though, because the first, 34 minutes of the game, and even, I think the first part of the second half, there were, 3-2 fouls, and then both teams got fairly deep into bonus. So, Izzo did work the refs, and it kind of worked. It's just, some of the fouls that Illinois committed were less on, the shooting side. I loved how, Tyson Walker was complaining about a foul he committed on Quincy when it was so clear that he hit his arm when he was dunking. That's just,
look, we could do this every game.
they just got to
we do do this every
better.
Day.
We do this. A good friend once told me that Illinois is the best 0-8 conference team.
Yes.
In the country.
Look how far we've come.
Mr. Izzo, I got news for you. You are one of the best.
Did you guys see his press conference after the Northwestern game? He was livid with his team. My team, analytics are crap, okay? This was one of the worst performances ever, and you can't criticize the players anymore, with the NIL and everything. But, I'm embarrassed to be at Michigan State. So he was just off the rails. But
wow, there's some string of retirements going on here. He's 68. You wonder how many more years he's got. If they don't do so hot this year, if they don't make the tournament or if they barely eke in. I'm not saying he's on the hot seat by any means. He's got a lifetime contract in East Lansing, of course, but I don't know. He's 68 years old.
Saban, Belichick, Pete Carroll.
Some of these older guys who and maybe some of these older guys are struggling a little bit with getting used to changing with NIL. Right. Adjusting with NIL. I think it's hard regardless of, I don't want to sound ageist. I think it's hard to adjust to the new NIL era, but there might be some of these coaches that have been around for 20, 30, 40 years that are saying, I don't want to have to create a new roster every year. I don't want to have to re-recruit kids to stay on my team every single year. That is exhausting. That is really difficult. That takes a lot of energy.
Yeah. And we did see one of those coaches in the building tonight, Jim Boeheim, watching his old player Quincy Guerrier light it up. So
yeah,
we'll see if Izzo joins him.
Question for you guys. So earlier this week when Saban and Pete Carroll both quit or were retired, and then I don't know what you could consider Pete Carroll, I said as a joke that Whitman should give both of them a call just to see if they'd be interested in taking over the Illinois head football coach job. If Izzo does the same thing at the end of this year, should Whitman give him a call?
Oh, no.
How many years?
Izzo is amazing, but that's different. The difference between Izzo and Brad Underwood is way different than the difference between Nick Saban and Brett Bielema.
I never said like, Nick Saban.
No, and, or and, sorry, and sorry, sorry.
No, it was Saban. It
even
was
Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll and Brett Bielema.
Like, obviously, yeah.
Brad's 8 years younger. You know, even if Izzo is obviously objectively a better coach, and even if you're guaranteed maybe some better years, you get Brad for hopefully way longer than you'd get Izzo. So yeah, but let's build our staff right now. So obviously, so Saban can be like, so we'll keep Brett.
Well, we need a linebackers coach and defensive backs coach. So
that was out of left.
True.
Yeah.
Saban coaches the DBs.
Okay. And Carroll coaches the linebackers or
Legion of Boom. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Legion of Spoon.
Yeah.
There we go. Good job, Josh. Legion of Spoon. Yay. Josh made a pun on the boardroom.
No,
that job. One's been around before.
Yeah, I was gonna say not an original.
Josh made a pun I haven't heard on the boardroom before. Yeah,
but yeah.
Either
way, Tom Izzo, like anytime you can beat, I think we've beaten them 4 straight times. So that's another one. Like, and they had showed that graphic of Illinois and Michigan State all time are now like 64-64, pretty wild. But I think dating wild. Josh, I want to say the last time. Was the first time we beat them when you got engaged? Like, have we been undefeated since you got engaged?
February 2021.
There might have been one more before that.
Wait, February 2022.
They have great sabermetrics right here. This is high level.
This is what everyone cares about.
I think that was the second time we played them that season. The first time we played them was when Kofi was out. We won that game. That was like dubbed the culture win, where we won by 1 point and Malik Hall missed a free throw. Then we beat them on the road, and then we beat them last year.
On your way to becoming the next Oracle. I think I think you're there. You're slowly accumulating knowledge.
Yes. But the real the point of like that's why I might rather have Brad than Izzo is like he's been better than him head to head. He's been better than him in the last 5 seasons. And despite the fact that, like, Izzo, obviously, long-term, he's won a national championship. He's an amazing coach.
Yes, there's no comparison. But Brad will obviously retire with more than one national championship.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
Obviously. No, sorry, I was coughing because there's clearly a bug going around. Santa Clara is up on number 23 Gonzaga with 4.6 seconds, Josh. So there's just this bug going on of ranked teams losing their – taste their sense of taste and smell, like all these ranked teams are going down. There's Steve Nash is in the house tonight.
I thought you were just doing the thing where we don't talk, like you wanted to talk about like a different players that reside in California, and I don't want to hear the 4-letter word that ends in a Z and that starts with a P.
I don't know how to spell that.
Okay.
No, there's just something.
A former Santa Clara.
Broncos. Yes. Broncos are at the line for 2 free throws, looking to ice this game against ranked.
I can't believe you changed your channel from Paul Mulcahy and Adam Miller to...
Oh, 3 seconds. Gonzaga's got a shot. Here we go. They steal the ball in Santa... Oh, that would be a terrible play-by-play commenter right there. Santa Clara won, so another ranked team goes down.
We didn't lose.
Gonzaga, we didn't. 23. Thankfully, FAU also won by one. We need them to keep winning. That. They've kind of been tumbling a little bit. That was huge.
Yes.
I feel like I would like to talk a little bit more about this game, though. Can we acknowledge also, like, the made free throws by Coleman, the 1-and-1. I was like, my reputation's on the line right here. This is like, if he misses these free throws and we lose this game, like, I'm going to hear about this one for a long time.
Johnny,
he sinks them. And that was a relief.
You have to be his agent. You have to represent him. There's literally no one that will work harder to get him the bag that he did. You will be calling every... Shams and Woj and GM, you'll be the guy who you know with James Franklin's agent that's texting the Pete Bammel to add him to the tweet. Like you are like you're like add Coleman to the lottery pick tweet. Woj, like you know, add him to the players to watch. You would do Coleman so good.
Do you see those people so like money. That like are the? It's not like they're not called like so and so fan accounts, but it's like. I'll use an example that I know for sure, like Jalen Brunson Muse, like Muse.
Yes, yeah. Stat Muse, yeah.
Stat Muse, Johnny's Coleman Hawken Muse.
Yeah, Coleman Hawkins Muse. He started off the season 2 for 15 from three, and he's still shooting 38% on the season. Like, that's, he's basically a 40% 3-point shooter who is a five and can lock down teams one. So,
random
yeah,
quote random quote from random player today at the press conference after the game. I saw people say season was cooked on Twitter. That was a slap in the face. The way we played tonight shows maturity from us, not listening to people and going out and still doing well.
Who said we were cooked?
People on Twitter.
Oh, well, everyone knows that Twitter's real. So if some...
That's half our podcast.
You can literally find anything you want on the internet. Remember that commercial? It was like, where'd you find it? On the internet. So if it's real, if it's on the internet, it must be real. They're not cooked. They're going to win the freaking Big Ten.
Yeah, exactly. So opposite of cooked. I mean, like, would you guys...
I told you
before the game, too, like, Marcus is going to go 4 for 12. Quincy's also going to go 4 for 12, and he's going to go 1 for 6 from three. Like, and we get out rebounded.
I'd say
like,
we wouldn't cover. I'd say we wouldn't cover, which we did not.
There were some people who were like, Luke, you needed to make those free throws.
You know what? That's all right. We did not cover, but that's quite okay. And there's this bug going around with ranked teams, and hey, like, team just needs to isolate a little bit this weekend, I would say. You know, don't go out, don't do anything stupid.
Stay in Champaign. I believe that's where we would love them to stay.
Stay in Champaign. Thank God that game is not at
Maryland. Oh yeah,
at Maryland.
We do have one.
We do go to Maryland. We do February 17th. I don't need to watch that game. I don't need to watch that game. It's gonna be Saturday afternoon. You know what's gonna happen. Who's their version of Anthony Cowan this year?
Dante Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, what, they
triple,
also
triple
Jameer
double?
Young too.
Yeah, they're
it's
gonna
Dante
go
Scott
go.
Though.
They're both
yeah,
go
against
for,
us.
For
against us, Dante Scott's always killed us.
So that's a game I will politely withdraw myself from. But Maryland's having a, I mean, they had actually a nice win.
Don't say what you're about to say. Let's
they're having
they're
a
good.
Down year.
They're good.
They had a nice win against Michigan today. Which if you're like a Michigan fan, you don't give a shit about Michigan, like, basketball. Like, you don't care,
do
right?
You
want
to
like,
hear a text I got
you're
tonight
literally
from a Michigan
just
fan?
Like, you don't even know that there was
yeah,
a game
I would
today.
Love to hear it.
You
I
didn't
would
even
love
know
to hear
there
it.
Was a basketball game today if you're a Michigan fan. You are still drunk. You are still lighting couches on fire. You could not be any more less. Like, if I want to talk with, like, student section students who went to the Michigan game, like, respect, but, like, no way.
Yeah, it's a good thing we have football because our basketball team is depressing AF. Good luck against Sparty. Just shut. I literally did a voice memo screaming, shut the hell up. Like, I do not want to hear anything that you have to say about your basketball team. I don't care if you did a road game suspension for a point guard, anything like that. You got the pinnacle. You are at the peak. There is nothing that could bring you down. A basketball team being bad one year, that's been most of my life, okay? You cannot be depressed about this one damn team. Sorry.
It's insane.
We have football as if like that's still going on. Like,
oh yeah, sorry.
Celebrating.
Yeah.
No, it is. They are. We do have football. You like, guys, if Illinois won the national, like, we would not
you get
be
the full
here.
Year. You get
like,
until
we,
the next national championship.
Like, the three of us would not be here right now. Like, let's just make that abundantly clear.
Yeah.
Like, I just want all our listeners to know that if Illinois football wins the national championship
or basketball,
well, we're talking football. Like, we're not like we won't be recording. Like, we won't be here. Where will we be? I don't know. There's no way I'd be coherent. There's no way I'd be able to fully form sentences, even
the
whatever.
Thursday after.
120 hours after the end of the game. No way. So just know that if we win the Natty, we will be kind of out of commission.
More likely.
I'm sure you understand.
More likely or less likely that you'd be, like, what's more likely? You'd be recording the podcast right now if we won football, or you'd be in jail. What's more likely?
They got Xbox in there?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're putting me in there for a public intoxication charge. And, like, you're not allowed
streaking
out until you're not allowed out until you can blow a certain level of BAC that you're sober enough to walk out of there. So, like, right now, after a national championship, 36 hours after a national championship, or what was that, 72 hours, like, still in the drunk tank for sure.
Yeah, it's a coin flip at this point.
It's so funny to hear that from the Michigan fans. Like, literally the week that they won a national championship, they're complaining about it. And, like, their season, yes, it's unique to Michigan in terms of, like, okay, they're usually very good at basketball. But, like, that's, like, 2016 in basketball. There were so many instances in college where we were terrible in basketball. Like, this is just such a... like a normal thing for regular sports fans. They don't know what it's like because they had John Beilein and then Jawan with Beilein's recruits. Like, I'm sorry, but all of our friends who went to Michigan during this time period, they went to a Final Four. Like, anyone who's gone to Michigan in the last 12 years has either gone to a Final Four in basketball or made the college football playoff.
Right.
So please be terrible and please be a joke of a program where your coach decides to let his assistant be coaching at the Palestra and then also suspending a player only for road games. Like, this is so long overdue.
Did I miss that? I admittedly I'm not fully tuned in as much to the basketball here. Road games?
Yeah, he's suspended for just road games. I don't know if it's confirmed or if it's just the rumor mill. But it's like it's for grades.
Yeah. Oh. I think they like thinly veiled comment about like how it's for him to focus on academics or something like that.
I guess that so he wants makes to be sense. Distracted. He doesn't travel. Yeah, you know, that makes sense. I mean,
yeah, but he's like the amount of time that they're traveling is not like a crazy. They're taking a private jet and like it's ridiculous. Like,
anyways, let's not let them. You know what? Let's not let them live rent free in our heads. Let's enjoy the fact that we had a nice win against Michigan State. That we're riding high going into the weekend here on 3-1 with a very winnable game against Maryland on Sunday, in which you should probably be favored by. I always overdo this. I want to say five. I want to say 5 points.
You're probably right.
I want to say 5 points, 5.5 to 6.
No, I don't know. I think it's going to be like it's at home against a team that you're supposed to beat. Like, this is number 10 Ken Pom versus 81.
What does it
he
say?
He says it's supposed to be a 14-point game.
Whoa!
Which, that sounds ridiculous. Granted, like, some of, obviously, his numbers still include, like, us with Terrence. But, like, today, for example, he predicted Illinois 77-71. He predicted a 6-point win. We won
that
by
sucks.
Three.
This guy's
so
awful.
Exactly.
50% off.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh, my gosh.
I would guess at least 8 points is what, and make okay, closer to 10.
Focus on curling.
Yes.
Go focus on curling, Ken.
But yeah, wow, I mean,
at 10.
The 1
wow.
o'clock Sunday game is really strange. Like, I don't know. It's just like when you have such a late in the week basketball, like the 8 o'clock Thursday game, like it is going to be a short turnaround. And I don't know about you. It's just like I'm very happy that Maryland also played today.
Correct. Yeah. I think that would be BS1 that if they didn't. The good news is that it's true. During the game, the NFL playoff game that has the biggest spread. So hopefully we don't have to focus on that game as well. I know some people have multiple TVs, but for those that only have one TV, it's during the playoff game that has the largest spread. Bill's
TV. Okay. Well, here's what I was thinking, Josh, is I don't know. I watched this game like at home tonight and I was yelling. I was pacing. I don't know about
for
you
sure.
Guys. Like,
for sure.
Like Coleman making those threes, just absolute bang. Like my neighbors are like, is there something wrong with you?
Yes.
So
I feel the answer is yes.
The
answer is
yes.
The
answer is yes. The answer is yes. But it's like usually almost all the time quiet and then just yelling. Like, is there a disturbance? It's
yes.
Yeah.
The answer
it's
is
called
yes.
Tom Izzo is banging on the refs right now and his team's playing way too physical. But my point is that I feel like especially you want to keep your eye a little bit on the other NFL game. I feel like might just Sunday go to a bar, head to Finley's, watch the game.
Oh baby, that's, you couldn't have teed that up anymore.
Yeah,
look, there are a lot. I was obviously our schedule.
I was wondering where you were going.
I'm serious though. Like
there are a lot of these Saturday. There are four Saturday day games, the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, the 2nd for Illinois, where that is just peak prime day drinking, indoor day drinking weather. We will be at those games at Finley Dunn's for those games. Six hours.
But for me, Sunday too, I have MLK Day off. I don't know about you guys, but ooh. I know Maddie, you're going to be in Vegas, but I'm treating that like a Saturday. And if Illinois wins, and almost every other team has lost in the top 10, like, I'm going to be hammered. I could be in the drunk tank then, being like, hey, we might be top 5 in the country. So
it's $6
it's shaping up for it. Yeah, exactly.
$20 buckets, $30 high noon buckets, $6 for a 22-ounce Stadium Cup draft. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're practically drinking for free at that point. So we'll be there for sure throughout the entire month of February. Hit us up if you're going to be there. Come say hey. Come say hi. We'd love to hang out. We'll be watching the games for sure. It's such a fun – when we went there for bragging rights, that was – I'm still buzzing off of that. I know you are. You guys are too, but yes.
Yeah, it was great. It was,
you got
it was
Monday funny. Off, Johnny. You go – yeah. Like, drink your heart's delight there at FD's there. That'll be blast. That'll be blast. So we'll be there.
Just
all
the energy at the bar for an Illini game when it's all Illini fans and they actually have the sound on. Like, that's
huge
what actually
difference.
Makes the difference.
Huge
I know most
difference.
People. I know most people have Google and can just like look up where Finley Dunn's is. But for those that want to know,
that
it's
don't
in Lake...
have Google, that don't have Google,
that are not. It's in Lakeview, Ashland, and Lincoln. I'm pretty sure, right?
Nope, but good try. It's on Lincoln. It's Lincoln and Cornelia. You know the Paulina meat market right
they're
there.
They're very. I'm like 2 blocks away.
But
right
that's
now.
Yeah, sure. You know the Paulina meat market right there. You know you get your you get your fresh meat and then you put it in a little cooler and you head over to the bar afterward and you hand out some cold cuts to the patrons of the bar every time we score. Excellent. All right, that was a fun little Thursday night win right there, boys. Any other takeaways? Otherwise, we will keep on going here. We are 25% of the way. What did we do last year? We talked about the quartiles. We're not going to do that again this year. We're right. We're not going to talk about quartiles with the Big Ten schedule. We retired that. Every year we retire something. We retire the banners 1 year.
The trust rankings.
The trust rankings. Yeah. The last year we retired the quartiles.
I actually don't hate not doing the quarters again. Quarters
games.
Is 5 games.
But there's exactly. There's five of them.
No, he's saying there's 4 quarters with 5 games.
Or 5 of 4.
Fits.
You can do either
See,
or.
Yeah. We're getting mathed right now. This is,
I guess
this
I am getting
quality
mathed right
podcasting.
Now. Because I guess the quarter shot, I guess in another game. Shoot,
I'd be very bad. Happy in the first quarter going 4-1 if we can just beat Maryland at home.
We had a first grade. You're right. Maddie, you're right. We had a great first quintile. Is that what it
quintile.
Would be?
Yeah.
Quintile. Yeah. Dodecahedron intile right there. Yes. Yes.
See you at Jip Hop.
Jip Hop and in the corner right there for Quincy. Big win, boys. Good job out there. Good podcast. And thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Boardroom. We'll catch you on the next one.